As mentioned, the reading will be from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Good to be with you again tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence here this evening. As Ron mentioned, we want to certainly keep in mind our upcoming gospel meeting. Every member at every service, of course, is our goal. We know in reality that that hardly ever happens. If ever things come up, people get sick, and I know some of our members, of course, work at night, that sort of thing. But we want to get as many people here as we possibly can. And, of course, the gospel meeting is for us. We look forward to having visitors from sister congregations and hopefully from the community. But really, we recognize when we put a gospel meeting together, it's for our own edification, but we'll only be edified if we are here. So let's do our very best to have a great gospel meeting. We had good attendance in our last effort, and we want to duplicate that here with Brother Keith Malone. He'll do an excellent job preaching the gospel to us, and so we need to do our part and support him and support the gospel of Christ. We look forward to that meeting. We appreciate the scripture reading that Bob read for us, and we recognize when we read the kind of words that Paul penned in that particular place that we are indeed in a battle. And that's because the devil is real. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not just a Halloween costume that is worn once a year. The devil is a real personal being. And as Peter said, he's on the prowl. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so as a result of that, we need, as Paul suggested in the text that was read, we need to be good soldiers of Christ. The fact of the matter is, we as the body of Christ, we are the army of the Lord. And there's all kind of soldiers in the army of Christ. There are young soldiers and old soldiers and those who are in between. There are rich soldiers and poor soldiers. There are experienced soldiers and inexperienced soldiers. But really, we all fall into one of two categories. We're either good soldiers or bad soldiers. And Paul emphasizes here that we ought to be good soldiers. And so here tonight, just for a few minutes of your time, a very simple lesson, we want to talk about being a good soldier of Christ. And we want to mention five things that are needed and necessary in order for that to be a reality. First of all, we must be soldiers who rely on the captain. And we recognize that any good soldier is going to do that. Even in a physical army, a good soldier is not one who begins to dispute with the captain when the captain gives an order. He doesn't call into question all the decisions that the captain makes. When the captain sets forth the orders, a good soldier doesn't wait and say, well, I don't really trust the captain. I'm just going to wait for a little while to see if this is a pretty good plan. Instead, he simply does what the captain commands. He goes where the captain wants him to go. He does what the captain wants him to do, and he does it at the time that the captain says, because he's a good soldier. And we understand from an earthly standpoint that there have been captains that haven't been very good, that tragically have led faithful soldiers to their demise. But in Christ, we have the greatest captain of all, don't we? We have a captain who, of course, has great divine power. We have a captain who sees the end before from the beginning. And so he's a captain who has never lost a battle. He's a captain who we can rely on and trust, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so certainly we owe him our trust. And we need to learn to rely on him as we go through life. Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 13, the favorite passage of a lot of people, Paul simply said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the attitude that we need to have. We need to learn not to rely on outside sources, not to rely even on ourselves. And that might be the hardest thing to do of all, that we sometimes begin particularly religiously, and when it comes down to our salvation, we begin to trust in our own flesh, in our own ability. And sometimes we even begin to doubt our salvation, because at the end of the day, we realize that we're feeble and that we have faults and flaws. And so we begin to think that maybe we're not good enough to go to heaven. And the truth of the matter is, we're not good enough to go to heaven. But we're not relying on ourselves. We're relying on our captain. That is Jesus. Paul was a good soldier, and he recognized that. Remember, over in Philippians chapter 3, turn over there just for a moment. And Philippians, the third chapter, and at verse 3, Paul writes these words. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glorify in Christ Jesus." Now watch. He says, "and puts no confidence in the flesh." And he was talking about salvation there, basically. That when it came down to the saving of his soul, when it came down to his relationship with God and going to heaven after a while, he wasn't relying on his own fleshly ability. His trust, his reliance was on his captain. It was on Jesus. And he, of course, had an illustrious background. He begins to say at verse 4, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more," he says. "Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul had a whole lot going for him from a physical standpoint. He could, if he wanted to, brag and boast, but he moved beyond all of that. He realized that when it came to salvation, he had to rely on Jesus, because Jesus is the one that has the words of eternal life. He's the one who could save and no one else. And that, of course, doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do in order to be saved, that there's no human effort involved in salvation at all. Even Paul himself said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Peter, in the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And those passages are just pointing to the obedience that's demanded of us by God. But you're not perfect, and the only way you could ever save yourself, the only way I could ever save myself, is to live a perfect, sinless life. Remember, when you sin one time, now you have to rely on the grace of God. Now you have to rely on your captain. He's the only one who can take care of the sin that's in your life. And Paul recognized that, and so he was a good soldier. We need to be good soldiers by, first of all, relying on our captain. But then, number two, a good soldier stays in good shape. You, in a physical warfare, wouldn't want to be in the foxhole with somebody who was out of shape, would you? In fact, it is critical that as soldiers, if you're going to survive in physical warfare, that you're in good shape. That's what going through boot camp and all of that is all about, and always staying in tip-top condition, because that's imperative when it comes down to battle. You have to be in good shape. And spiritually, that's the case as well. We need to be soldiers who are in good shape. There are two things that come to mind when you think about that. If you're going to be in good shape, you have to maintain a good diet, don't you? And physically, we understand that. We understand we have to eat the right kinds of food. And not only do you have to eat the right kind of food, but you have to eat in the proper proportions as well, or else you're not going to be in very good shape. We talked this morning about desiring the Word of God. But at the end of the day, we have to do more than desire. Sooner or later, we have to get down to the business of eating, don't we? And when we think about that figure of eating God's Word, of taking in God's Word, that really just goes to mean taking that Word, the spiritual seed of the kingdom, and placing and implanting it in our heart, our biblical heart, our minds, and allowing it to dwell there. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 16, Paul said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." That's exactly what all of us need to do. That's imperative if we're going to be good soldiers. Notice over in the book of Hebrews for a second. In Hebrews, the second chapter, and at verse 1, the Hebrews writer has this to say. He says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard." That's the Word of God, of course. That's what they heard. He says, "We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." Now, you notice there, I'm reading again the ESV, and the word there, pay, and then the word attention. In the Greek text, that's actually one word. And that one Greek word means to hold the mind, to hold the attention, basically. And so the point of it is, we need to take the Word of God in, plant it into our biblical hearts, and we shouldn't be hearing the Word of God from the standpoint of letting it go in one ear and out the next. We have to allow it to dwell in our hearts, to dwell in our mind, to lodge in our minds. And that's the only way we can be good soldiers. But we also have to make sure that as we're taking in the Word of God, that we're taking in the right kind of food and making sure that we have a balanced diet. We're big in this country now. I guess we have been for several years now, talking about carbs and all that kind of stuff. But you know, you don't want to get filled up with carbs. That's a bad diet. But you don't really want to cut them all out of your diet either. You don't want to eat all meat. You need your vegetables and you need some dairy food and all of that. You need a balanced diet if you're going to be in good shape. And when we start feeding upon the Word of God, it's like that too. There's some people, all they want to take in are the passages and the teachings that talk about love and that talk about heaven and that sort of thing. And let me tell you something, we need to chew on that. We need to study more passages that talk about heaven. We need to fill our minds with the hope of heaven. That's our wonderful and glorious hope. The same Bible talks about hell too, and we need to be warned about that. We need to study portions of the Bible that talks about the love and the mercy of God, but we need to also study the passages that describe God as unsparing. God is a God of patience, and we know that, and we should study those passages, but He is a God of wrath as well. And so the point of it is, we need to take all of the Word of God. If we're going to be good soldiers and be in good shape, if we're going to have the proper spiritual diet, we have to have a good balance. And then, of course, if you're going to be in shape, there has to be the exercise. We have to exercise regularly. And in the spiritual realm, that means taking that Word of God that we plant in our minds and we allow to dwell in our biblical hearts and making application of it. Living by the Word of God. The religion of our Lord is a doing religion. The Bible was never meant to be a book that you simply read and put down and that's it. It was never meant to be a book that simply stirred the emotions, and yet we understand the Word of God can be very emotional and it can stir up our emotions, but that's not the end aim of the Word of God. God wants us to apply the Word of God to our lives. That's the exercise that we need. We need to be doers. Remember, James said, don't be doers of the Word, not hearers only, he said. And that's important. Matthew 7 at verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And so you can just see passage after passage that emphasizes the doing, the making, the application of the Word of God to our lives. And that's how we exercise and we become good soldiers. We have to stay in good shape. But I'll tell you a third thing. We have to endure hardness. In 2 Timothy, in the passage again that was read, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 3, the ESV says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I think the King James says endure hardness. And the truth of the matter is, in any kind of warfare, there's going to be some suffering. There is no such thing as war without suffering, without some difficult times. And that's true again, not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. And the fact of the matter is, that's just life. In life, I've often said, there are more valleys in life than there are peaks. Because that's just life. Job said, the man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. That's just life. You're having difficulties in your life. We certainly don't want you to have difficulties and want to pray for you when you do. But when you're having difficulties, don't sit back and just feel sorry for yourself like no one else is going through that. Fact of the matter is, everybody goes through that. There's ups and downs and trials and tribulations in life. In this tent, Paul once said, we do groan being burdened. That's just life. And then when you add the fact that we are soldiers in the army of Christ, there's going to be suffering sometimes that's directly related to the fact that you are a Christian. Because the world is going to hate you. Not everybody in the world, but people who live in darkness hate the light. That's what Jesus himself said. And so there's going to be some persecution. In fact, over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice at verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and at verse 12, Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He didn't say you might be. He didn't say maybe. He said if you're living a godly life in some form or fashion, you'll be persecuted. Now, he was writing this at a time when being a Christian was starting to be something that was a violation of the will of the government. We live in a situation where we have freedom religiously. And so you're probably not going to be thrown in jail for being a Christian. But sometimes we're getting to the point where maybe you will. And the point of it is, what will you do when Christianity becomes outlawed? When now you begin to be persecuted, and again, it may not be physical now, but there are more and more people who are hostile towards the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truths of that gospel. You're going to stand up for it? Are you going to earnestly contend for the faith, defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul said he was set to do in Philippians chapter 1? If so, there's going to be some persecution. And in fact, I remember the parable that Jesus gave of the sower. And one of the types of soil that he talked about was rocky soil. And as you have heard many sermons on the parable of the sower, that rocky soil, that didn't have to do with a bunch of individual rocks in the soil, but that was a big rock that covered the ground so that the roots couldn't really be planted very deeply. And so when the sun came up, the plants, of course, would burn and they wouldn't survive. And he says, Jesus said, that's describing the individual who receives the word of God with joy, but then when persecution comes, causes him to stumble. But you might recall his words in that particular part of the parable, that he talked about persecution that came on account of the word of God. So there's times when you're going to suffer as a Christian, specifically because of your love for the truth and your application of it to your life. And so you just have to be ready for that. We can't just quit. We can't just throw up our hands in the air and say, well, I'm having a little trouble. I think I'm going to go back to the world. No, a good soldier will endure. And that's just a part of being a good soldier of Christ. When problems invade your life, you don't invite them in. They just barge into your life. And when they do, you have to make sure you're determined to continue to fight the good fight of faith, to continue to walk with Jesus and be strong. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have to endure hardness. And then number four, a good soldier focuses on the battle. Turn back over again to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice at verse 4, Paul writes, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. There's a lot of truth to that, isn't it? Even in the physical realm, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. That's right, isn't it? You think about the soldier who's out there on the battlefield. And there's all kinds of people, particularly when you live in times of a draft and that sort of thing. And someone might be drafted into the war, and all kinds of people from different walks of life end up in that battle. Teachers and farmers and professors and all kinds of people, lawyers. But you know, when that battle is going on, that lawyer is not thinking about his cases back home. The teacher, the professor is not thinking about the courses. The farmer is not thinking about his equipment or the farm life back then. When he's in the midst, when they're in the midst of that battle, the only thing that they're focused on is the battle that is before them. They don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. Now, we're in a constant battle spiritually. Every day of our lives, we're in this battle. We need to be focused on the battle. not always obsessed with the physical and making our physical life's pursuit more important than our spiritual pursuit. There's too many of us who our occupation becomes more important than the work that we do for God. The physical becomes more important than the spiritual. And that's to lose focus. The good soldier will not get entangled in the things of this world. 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 13, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. That means you pull together all of your thoughts and you focus them on spiritual things. Exactly what we need to do. Colossians 3, of course, Paul emphasized, set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. That's what a good soldier will do. Where's your main focus? What do you think about most in life? We all think about the physical. You're going to be a good employee. You got to give some thought time to your job. You ought to be a good lawyer, a loyal employee. No doubt about that. But where's your highest priority? On the physical, on the secular, or the spiritual? Let's not forget we're in a battle. There may not be bombs blowing up all around us physically. You may not hear the bullets going by your head, but we're in a real battle. And the devil is shooting real fiery darts. And if we're going to be good soldiers, we can't get entangled in the things of this world. But one more thing. A good soldier is aware of traitors. And they always seem to infiltrate the camp, don't they? Listen to the book of Jude. Turn over to Jude and notice what Jude has to say about this. Jude, of course, made up of just one chapter, but notice it, verse 3 and 4. Jude, verse 3 and 4 says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to all saints. That, by the way, is military language, contending for the faith. But look at verse 4. He says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed. He's talking about in the church. I've often said the church, there's a lot of creeps in the church. And people who creep in unaware. They don't let everybody know what they're really all about. False teachers who are trying to draw disciples after themselves. And Jude is dealing with that. There were people like that in the first century. Certain people who crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for condemnation. Ungodly people who perverted the grace of God into sensuality and denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. He's talking about traitors in their midst. And that can happen in local churches like this. It doesn't mean that there are always traitors in our midst, but they can arise. And they can seemingly come out of nowhere. And we have to be alert, all of us. We have to make sure that we're paying attention to what is being taught and what is being practiced and pay attention to brethren. Look over in Acts chapter 20 very quickly. Paul, of course, warned the brethren at Ephesus about this very thing. In Acts the 20th chapter and down at verse 28, he says to the elders of the church at Ephesus, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. He's talking about traitors in the midst of the church at Ephesus. He says at verse 30, from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. And so there'd be some people who would creep in unnoticed. There'd be some actually that would rise up from within. Today in real life, congregations have been destroyed because of that. Young men have arisen within the congregation and they adopt some kind of false doctrine and they get it in their mind that they have to enlighten everybody else. And before you know it, there's a lot of fussing and fighting in the local church. And just like that, it seems, church is divided. We have to be careful about that. It may be someone who may, perhaps he's not after the local church, but maybe he might just target you. Wants to draw you over to his side and believing some strange doctrine. And you have to keep your guard up A good soldier will be aware of traitors. A good soldier will have a familiarity with the Word of God and be able to recognize false doctrine. So as Peter, or as Paul rather said in one place, will not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to listen carefully to everything I teach behind this pulpit, everything that is taught in the class, and you need to make sure that you're only receiving the Word of God. I have a responsibility to stand for the truth, but you have a responsibility to make sure that's what I'm teaching. For if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. And good soldiers will do that. Good soldiers will be aware of traitors. And so what kind of soldier are you? There are all kinds of soldiers in the body of Christ. We should all want to be good soldiers that can do good work for the Lord, stand up for our captain and defend him in his word, and further the cause of Christ here on earth. I hope that you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, before you can fight for the Lord, you have to be enlisted into the Lord's army. You have to obey the gospel. Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not real complicated how you become a child of God. There's a lot of false doctrine out there, people teaching things that simply aren't accurate and according to the Word of God. But the truth is, obeying the gospel is very simple. In fact, Mark chapter 16 at verse 16 is one of the most simple passages in all of the Word of God. Sadly perverted by many, but very simple. Peter said, he that believeth, or Jesus rather said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How could it get more simple than that? You want to be a soldier in the army of Christ? You have to believe in Jesus. Those who don't believe in Jesus will die in their sins, Jesus himself said. You must believe in him, and you must be baptized. Don't let teachers tell you, you don't have to be baptized. That's a work, and you don't have to do that. Oh, it's a work, all right, but it's not a meritorious work. It's an act or work of obedience. And Jesus himself said that you have to believe and be baptized. You're not a soldier in the army of Christ until you are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 at verse 27. You want to be a part of this great army? Obey the gospel. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.